We've been reading from We've been reading from Canto 10, Chapter 9, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the chapter dealing with the Damodar Leela, Damodar, Mother Yashoda binding Krishna with rope. We already completed the first 19 verses, which describes the Leela, and now we're on the last two verses of summary of what we're supposed to receive or understand from the verse, from the narrator, from Shukadeva Goswami's perspective. And of course there's many things, but most outstanding is the unique position of Mother Yashoda. As we know, in there's relationship. Each of us have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Each of us have an eternal relationship with Krishna. It's covered. And we're trying to revive and reawaken that eternal relationship with Krishna. And there's five primary relationships of love. And they go in sequence from lower to higher. From neutrality, then above that is servitorship, dasya, friendship, sakya, parental affection, vatsalya, and conjugal love, madhurya, or shingara rasa. Shanta, dasya, sakya, parental affection, vatsalya, and Madhurya. So chapter 9 is focusing on the parental affection, and specifically the parental affection of Mother Yashoda. And she's over the top. She's superlative. She's the best. And in the verse that we've been discussing, text 20, it says specifically that she has received more mercy, as exalted as our Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even the Goddess of Fortune, they have not received as much mercy as Mother Yashoda has received. And specifically, she has so much mercy that the Lord, the controller of Shiva and Brahma and Lakshmi, they worship him, and she's tying him up with a rope. She's not tying him up with a rope as much as she's tying him up with her love. And so that's why she's being honored this way. So that's the verse. And we're going to be reading some commentaries that make reference to this verse. One of those commentaries is found in Canto 10, Chapter 22. Canto 10, Chapter 22. From the commentary on that verse, verse number 4, there's a reference to the Narada Pancharatra. Narada Pancharatra. Narada Pancharatra is a part of the Vedas. It's a section that deals specifically with Pancharatrika worship, and the references are a discussion between Shruti, the personified Vedas, and Vidya, personified. Knowledge personified, and the Shruti's personified. It's a very elevated discussion. And the translation reads as follows. The Lord's potency, known as Durga, is dedicated to his loving service. Being the Lord's potency, his supreme potency is the counter form of Mahavishnu. Now we're going to be hearing there's a spiritual and a material Durga, just as there's a spiritual world and there's a material world. In the material world, most persons that are familiar with Durga, they know of the material counterpart. This is speaking of the spiritual counterpart, Mahavishnu's consort. Simply by understanding the supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls, who is the Lord of all lords. There is no other process to achieve him. That supreme potency of the Lord is known as Gokuleshwari, the goddess of Gokula. So now the reference is, in addition to, or as part of the spiritual world, the spiritual sky, there's spiritual planets known as Vaikuntha planets. Narayan and goddess Lakshmi preside there. There's a spiritual planet within that realm of Ayodhya, where Ram and his three brothers and the whole of Ayodhya is situated there. Dasaratha, Kaushalya, etc. That's another realm. Then there's, and so it's Sita and Ram are presiding in Ayodhya Dham. And Gokula Dham, there's the Supreme Lord Govinda and the presiding deity, female Shakti, is Gokuleshwari, Gokula and Gokuleshwari. That's the spiritual manifestation of Gokula, spiritual world. Her nature is to be completely absorbed in love of God. And through her, one can easily obtain the primeval God, the Lord of all. This internal potency of the Lord has a covering potency known as Maha Maya, who rules the material world. By her, the entire universe is bewildered, and thus everyone within the universe falsely identifies himself with the material body. This spiritual Durga, Gokuleshwari, the goddess of Gokula, is the presiding deity of the 18-syllable Krishna mantra, because her names are the same as those of the material Durga. Confusion sometimes arises. There is a rule that one should express a particular name of the person desired as the husband in the third part of the verse. This is now referring to a pastime maybe you are familiar with when the young gopis were young girls, very young girls, they observed a vrata during the coldest month, the month of December, January in Vrindavan. They went to the shore of the river Jamuna before the sun came up. And I've been in Vrindavan during that month, and it's really cold at night. And they went to the shore of the river Jamuna. They worshipped Goddess Katyayani. They worshipped Goddess Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband. And Katyayani is another name of Durga. But they weren't worshipping a material Durga, because not by something material one can achieve something spiritual. You can't achieve the association of Krishna through something material. So they were worshiping the internal potency, internal spiritual potency, Katyayani, and there's their material counterpart. You with me? Okay. There is a rule that one should express a particular name of a particular of every person desired as the husband in the third part of the verse. So there's a standard verse in worshiping Katyayani, and the name of the person who the girl wishes to have as her husband by observing this Katyayani Vrata is named. So they name Krishna. Since Braja has pastimes like the material world, the girls worshipped Katyayani. Their worship of her, however, is filled with the joy of the highest prema. Thus, Krishna cannot be attained by worship of the material goddess. If some respectable people think otherwise, they cannot even touch the slightest trace of Krishna prema. Pure prema for the Lord is the highest goal. The worship of all devatas is included in worship of the Lord. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. Now this is Shruti and Vidya having their discussion. Final paragraph. No. The gopis eternally possess that prema. They are fully accomplished. What is the question of sadhana for them? Considering the highest attainment of prema, that prema, realized with pure sweetness, becomes mixed with thinking of Krishna as the Supreme Lord and thinking that he is the cause of pure bhakti out of reverence. Bhagavan is controlled by prema alone, but the people of Braja are not praised for such mixed prema. So what's being said here is, the gopis, the very next sentence is going to describe Mother Jasoda. So like Mother Jasoda, like the cowherd boys, so also the gopis, they had no material affinity. They had gone beyond any material attraction. They were situated in the highest stages of unmixed devotion, prema, prema's love, without any mixture of anything material. So their worship of Katyayani was on the topmost platform. They're worshiping the internal potency with the aspiration to attain Krishna as their husband. So like the gopis, this is in reference to the gopis, so now it's going to speak of our verse for this evening, which is Mother Jasoda, where the verse says, neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from the material world, such mercy as that received by Mother Jasoda. Then it speaks to the cowherd boys. So first it was the gopis, then it's Mother Jasoda. Now it's the cowherd boys. There's a very wonderful verse. I'll say the verse in Sanskrit, but it's in chapter 12. In chapter 12, is the spotlight is on the cowherd boys and their activities with Krishna each day. And during this stage, during this particular pastime that's described, Krishna is not yet 5 years old. So think of some small boy that's not yet 5 years old, and he's with calves and the cowherd boys, and they're playing like five-year-old boys do. So the verse reads, it's nice, the Sanskrit is very nice, etam satam brahma sukhanubhritya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashratanam daradarakena Sakambhira Dru Krita Punya Punjaha. This Shukadeva Goswami describing the cowherd boys. In this way, with an abundance of splendor, caused by Krishna, they played with him. Although he is pure consciousness or happiness known as Brahmasukh for the Gyanis, the Supreme Lord for the devotees with Dasya Bhav, and an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. So a key phrase there is Krita. Krita.
Hi.
Krita Punya Punja. Krita Punya Punja. One more time. Krita Punya. Punya, you know the meaning, to pious. Krita Punya, they perform pious activities for many, many lifetimes, these coward boys, to have this very, very special relationship where those who are Gyanis, who for many lifetimes, with great austerity, they're trying to experience the happiness of Brahman, or Brahmasukh. For those who are worshippers of the Supreme Lord, they see him in Dasya Bhav and they wish to attain Bhagavan's association. For ordinary people, they see him as an ordinary person. But the coward boys, they're playing with him all day long. So that is to say, the focus is those who are residents of Goloka, or the Brijbasis, those who are being described in this Canto 10 Bhagavatam, Krishna's childhood pastimes, they're very, very special souls. The sweetness of their love with Krishna and Krishna's love for them is most exalted, even amongst the exalted, Brahma, Shiva, even the goddess of fortune. They receive more mercy, residents of Vrindavan, even more than these great, great personalities. The next verse is from chapter 45 of Canto 10. In chapter 45 of Canto 10, Krishna has gone to Mathura. Akura brought him from Vrindavan. He killed Bhuvalyapita, Chanuramushtaka, the wrestlers, killed Kamsa, freed Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison. They're again united after 12 years of being separated. Ugrasena is installed on the throne. Nanda Maharaj had come to attend that same festival in Mathura. He was invited and came along with many Brijbasis to Mathura for the festival, the Bhav festival. Now Krishna is with Balaram, and Krishna is considering, Nanda Maharaj should go back. I have to stay here for some time in Mathura. But Nanda should return. So that's the scene. It's chapter 45, Canto 10. Then, O exalted Parikshit, the Supreme Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, along with Balaram, approached Nanda Maharaj. The two lords embraced him and then addressed him as follows. So that's the verse from that chapter. Here's commentary. Krishna thought, quote, "We must send Nanda back to Braja this evening." But evening had already come. "Then we should send him back tomorrow morning." But there was a delay of a few days because of performing necessary duties to respect the citizens in Mathura and to console the Yadus in Mathura. Krishna considered, "If I suddenly return to Gokula, Jarasandha will attack Mathura. people here are not protected. In this way, Krishna worried. That's a pastime because he doesn't need to worry. But he's performing activities as if he was one of us. Just like we heard this morning, when Krishna was performing his childhood pastimes, little baby pastimes, Mother Jasoda and Devaki would place the child Krishna and Balaram on their laps. The two boys were the same size, same age. And when they opened their mouth to drink milk, they saw little tiny teeth. You know, it's a pastime. So like he's showing a pastime as a baby boy, he would do other things like, you know, appropriate for his age, for the pleasure of the parents. It's an exchange with parental affection, vatsalya rasa. Back to that topic at the beginning. He's enjoying their enjoying, and it's a loving exchange. That's Vrindavan. So here he's playing the role of a 12-year-old boy who's considering carefully, thoughtfully, I don't want the residents of Mathura to be unprotected if I go back to Braja. And I don't want to go back to Braja because if I go back to Braja, then the enemies, Jarasandha and others, will understand my affection for the residents of Braja and they'll harass them, then attack them. So he's considering, I'll stay here in Mathura and Nanda can go back and protect Vrindavan. That's the Leela. In this way, Krishna worried as part of his acceptance of his human pastimes and thus did not return to Braja. Then, one day, Krishna and Balaram met Nanda in a private place. They embraced him with a manifestation of emotions befitting children, and after performing proper actions such as offering respects suitable for sons. In three verses, Shukadeva then speaks their words, which were befitting affectionate sons. Question: who is Krishna? Shukadeva Goswami is indicating you, Parikshit, recognize him as Bhagavan, appearing as the son of Devaki. But actually, he is independent, being endowed with all powers. And he who appeared by birth as the son of Devaki, as Balaram, son of Devaki, is Sankarshan. So Vasudeva and Sankarshan. By derivation of his name, he is called Sankarshan, or pulled from the womb of Devaki to Rohini's womb, the son of Vasudeva. The two boys then spoke to Nanda. Parikshit, you should know that what they spoke to Nanda was their true feelings. It is not like the dealings with Vasudeva and Devaki, who were identifying themselves as their children, by which the two boys made them more affectionate. That is to say, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had a mix. They saw he's the personality of Godhead. He showed him the form of the personality of Godhead. They offered prayers to the personality of Godhead, suitable for a very clear understanding of his position. And the mix is they also saw him as their son. But for Nanda and Jasoda, no such prayers, no such understanding of his being the personality of Godhead. They had only one thing. He's our son. No matter what happened, because that's their nature, their affection. Those dealings, Nanda and Jasoda, were contrary to truth. The truth is shown in Shukadeva's previous statement. So this is discussing a verse from chapter 45. Krishna and Balaram are speaking to Nanda. So going back to chapter 5, in chapter 5, where's the place? Yeah. When Krishna appeared as his son, Nanda Maharaj, fully devoted, was overwhelmed by jubilation. Nandas tu atmaja upane jata lado maha manaha. That's Nanda. For Vasudeva and Devaki, he spread his maya. He covered them to think otherwise. Understanding that his parents, this is now Krishna is entering the prison house. There's Vasudeva and Devaki in shackles, and they're seeing Krishna coming before them. So Krishna's understanding that his parents were becoming aware of his powers, the Supreme Lord thought that this should not be allowed to happen. Thus he expanded his yogamaya, which bewilders his devotees. So they had heard, they're in a prison, but they heard that Krishna killed Kamsa. Wicked, wicked, powerful. Kamsa was a terrorist. He subdued kings in all lands. He was a really powerful personality. And this 12-year-old boy just KO'd him, finished him. Knockout. And so they were feeling his divinity. And Krishna didn't want their divinity. He wanted them to, their parental affection. So he covered them with yogamaya so they would forget his divinity. It is not mentioned that he spread maya for Nanda. When he went to go see Nanda, he and Balaram were encouraging him to go back to Braja. The message is, there's different relationships with different devotees. According to their regard for him, he reciprocates. The verse in Bhagavad Gita speaks like this. Yayatamam prapadyante tangstadaiva bhajam yaham. Very pleasant sounding. It's okay. It's okay. If my phone rings, I'll be excused too. Mine isn't so pleasant like yours. Okay, so Nanda and Yashoda, the focus is this. Nanda and Yashoda have a very special kind of love. And because of their special kind of love, Krishna doesn't need to conceal himself. Their love conceals him. They don't see his divinity. He doesn't have to cover them with maya. It is not mentioned that he spread maya for Nanda in the present situation. The bhava of Nanda and others in Vraja is praised by Brahma, Shukadev, and Uddhava as natural and most rare. There's prayer, there's verses in the 10th canto where each of them, Brahma, Shukadev, and Uddhava, speak of the super exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan. And it's for everybody. Yes, Yashoda, but everybody. It's a very special place where there's a very special kind of love. Here's Brahma speaking, chapter 14. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune. Because Krishna gave them prema, which is the highest bliss, eternal and complete. That's Brahma speaking about the Brijbasis. And here is Shukadeva Goswami saying this evening verse. Neither Brahma nor Shiva nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Lord the Deliverer from the material world such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. And here's Uddhava saying something quite similar. Oh, respectful Nanda. Uddhava was in Mathura with Krishna. Uddhava? Uddhava? Yes, no? Our host over here. Uddhava? Uddhava? You know, Arjuna is Krishna's friend, one of the Pandavas. That's in Hastinapur. But in Mathura and in Dwarka, he was also a cousin. And his name was Uddhava. And he was very, very, very dear associate of Krishna. It is said, outside of Vrindavan, he's the most elevated Vaishnava. So when Krishna's in Mathura, he's feeling affection for the resident of Vrindavan. He knows their affection for him, but he's not prepared to go back because same reason. If he goes, the demons will know he has affection for the Brijbasis and they'll harass them. So he didn't go. So he sent Uddhava, his dear friend Uddhava. And Uddhava had amazing qualities besides education. He even looked like Krishna. He had a form of the same complexion as Krishna, and even features like Krishna, and he even dressed like Krishna. So when he went to Mathura to give a message for the gopis, it's a celebrated event. He's reading the message to the gopis, and Radharani's talking like a mad person. Radharani's talk with the bumblebee, you know that story, right? No? It's from this chapter. So Uddhava, before he went to see the gopis, that was to carry his message from Krishna to the gopis, he visited the house of Nanda and Yashoda. So he's speaking to Nanda. Oh, respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Narayana, the spiritual master of all living beings. Now, the worshipable deity on their altar in their home was Narayana. So Nanda is taking it, oh, you think that we're nice devotees of Lord Narayana at our altar at the home. But he was thinking, your son is Narayana. But he heard it differently because he doesn't see Krishna as Narayana. He sees them as his son. Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit, oh, best of kings. That's this verse from chapter 45. You, King Parikshit, are fixed in a relationship with Kunti. And thus, with Vasudeva among the great kings. But being a lowly beggar, I have no taste for such things. That Shukadeva is expressing his humility and his appreciation for the exalted nature of Parikshit. Okay, so now we're going forward to chapter 65. Canto 10, chapter 65 is everybody's now in Dwarka. And Balaram is encouraging Krishna to go to the resident of Vrindavan. And Krishna is not ready to go. He tries and he tries. He's the older brother. But Krishna doesn't go. So Balaram goes to give association to the residents of Vrindavan. He spends 2 months. And that's what the reference is here. Balaram resided there for 2 months. The months of Madhu and Madhava. And during the nights he gave the cowherd girlfriends conjugal pleasure. Commentary says, the gopis mentioned in the present verse were gopis dedicated only to Balaram. The word gopi does not always mean Krishna's consorts. And he gives like 10 different scriptural references. Here's one from chapter 5. The gopi wives of the cowherd men were very pleased to hear that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a son. That's a certain set of gopis, her peers. Then another is chapter 6. The gopis immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked Krishna up. That's the same elder gopis, her peers. Yashoda's friends, the other gopis, approached Mother Yashoda, hearing her pitiful crying. Chapter 7. That's the Trinavarta demon story. Trinavarta. Then chapter 8. This is Krishna's childhood pastimes. All the elder gopis saw the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna. Then later in chapter 8, my dear Krishna, Yashoda picked up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense. These are all speaking about gopis. And then this verse, such mercy was received by Mother Yashoda. It doesn't mention her by name. It's gopi. But the gopi that's being referred to is Mother Yashoda. It's gopa and gopi. Gopa is cowherd and gopi is the cowherd women. Chapter 65. This Balaram verse. Having suffered the anxiety of separation, the cowherd men and their wives embraced Balaram. So he's gone from Dwarka, gone to Vrindavan. He's arrived in Vrindavan, and when they saw him, they were so happy. They embraced him. So the gopas and the gopis. They embraced him out of great confusion due to separation. It should not be thought that in the present context, the gopis, that's Balaram dancing gopis, it's Krishna's gopis. Similarly, in the fifth canto, chapter 11, there are contiguous statements in this verses 12, 13, with the word kshatragya. But the word means jiva in the first instance and God in the second instance. He's just giving scriptural examples. It's very entertaining to make a point. When Balaram went to engage in dancing with gopis, it wasn't Krishna's gopis. He's just giving crucial examples to say, because it says gopis, don't make the mistake of thinking it's... When the submersion of the earth during Swayambhuva Manu, it was different from the submersion of the earth during the killing of Hiranyakashipu, though the two stories are mixed. So, this is like a lawyer. He's giving case law. And now he's saying, thus, the gopis referred to by the word ta, that's the previous verse, does not refer to the gopis mentioned in this verse. The previous verse speaks of Krishna's activities with the gopis. And then the next verse speaks of Balaram's activities with the gopis. So it's a different set of gopis. If they were the same Krishna's gopis, it would have created a scandal in Dwarka. What more need to be said? Now, the present pastime is explained. This is Balaram has gone to Vrindavan. Having completely consoled Krishna's dear gopis, that was the previous verse, he enjoyed with other gopis of Balaram's group, about whom Krishna joked during their Kumara period. So what's that? The joke, it'll be explained. The gopis mingled with Krishna's gopis, these gopis, that's Balaram's, mingled with Krishna's gopis during the events leading to the killing of Shankachuda and the Holika pastime. You familiar with that? Shankachuda He was given the name Shankarshuta because he had a big turban with a big jewel in the shape of a conch shell. And he was an aristocratic, puffed up person, kind of like Kamsa. And there's some detail described in one of the scriptures, not in the Bhagavatam, that Kamsa had heard about Krishna's activities with the gopis. And kind of like Ravana, he was a little lusty. So he wanted Shankarshuta to bring the gopis for him to be the enjoyer of. So he just sent him on a mission. So Shankarshuta, when he saw Krishna and Balaram, because Krishna had gopis and Balaram had gopis, and it was the holy pastime, the holy pastime, they were dancing, as is the custom. And Shankarshuta, when he saw these young gopis, both Balaram and Krishna's gopis, he didn't even pay any attention to Krishna and Balaram. He just started showing, you know, heading them towards Mathura. And the gopis, you know the pastime, the gopis panicked. Krishna, help! Krishna became filled with rage. And he chased after Shankarshuta. Shankarshuta saw both of them coming. He ran for his life. The gopis were now safe. And Krishna caught up with him and, well, separated his head from the rest of his body and gave the jewel that was in his turban, the Balaram. The explanation is the gopis were thinking, oh, maybe he'll give it to me. No, Krishna didn't want that kind of competition amongst the gopis. So he gave it to Balaram. But so there's reference to Balaram's visiting so much later, chapter 35, compared to chapter 15. It's a childhood pastime. They were quite young when this was going on. Just, you know, dancing on the festival of Holi. So Balaram was with his group of gopis in the evening for those 2 months he was there. It was said in verse 1 of this chapter, so this is chapter 65, that Balaram went to Braja, desiring to see his friends. That was his principal aim. Secondarily, he enjoyed with his own gopis. He did this at night in a most secret way, far away, on the bank of the Jamuna, for he was suitable for enjoying Rama, and he was Bhagavan. Thus, he enjoyed with many gopis. A little flavor to the unique position of the resident of Vrindavan and their unique kind of love for Krishna. And now here we're hearing specifically about Balaram. So I'll cover one more text and then we'll... How are we doing with time? Whoa. Should I cover one more text? Or should we just go, summarize and go into just questions and answers? Maybe we should summarize and go into questions and answers. What about our host and hostess? What do you want? Whatever we want is what you want, right? Are you following everything okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes? So let's just summarize. Srimad Bhagavatam, you have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam here. There's 12 cantos. We're reading from canto 10. And to properly understand canto 10, to properly understand it, a reasonable understanding of the first 9 cantos should be there. Just like imagine if you're, I don't know, writing a paper or something. You don't want somebody just going to, you know, 9/10 of the way through and they start reading something 9/10 of the way through, if they haven't understood the first 8 parts, how are they going to understand the 9th part before the 10th part, before the final part, wrap up? So to properly understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we go through the whole 10 cantos. We're reading from the Damodara Lila in part because it's the month of Damodar. And it's important, even if we're going to read the first 9 cantos, it's also good to know where is all this taking us? It's like you get on a train. It's pretty important to know where's the train going before you get on the train. Then you can know when it's your stop to get off. But if you get on the wrong train, you're not going to get to where you want to go. Not very likely. So the Bhagavatam takes us to Krishna's abode in the spiritual world. And once in Brahma's day, which is a really long time, Brahma's day is really, really long. There's 1,000 cycle of the 4 yugas in each day of Brahma. And each cycle of 4 yugas times 1,000, each one is 4,320,000,000 years times 1,000. That's a lot of years. That's one day. So once in a day of Brahma, and then as night is of equal duration, Krishna appears. So it's very special for Krishna to form his pastimes. And the Bhagavatam is disclosing in the 10th canto those pastimes. And it just so happens that this particular cycle of the 4 yugas is when Krishna appeared. Pretty exceptional. Very, very special. Because otherwise we'd have to wait for another 4,320,000,000 years times 2. That's the night of Brahma. You know, we wouldn't even look like what we're looking like presently. We wouldn't have the same names, we wouldn't have the same anything. Same soul, but you know, material circumstances would be totally different. But the message of Krishna is eternal. Doesn't matter. The modes of nature and time and karma and all those temporary things, they're eternal. They're eternal. And hearing those eternal pastimes, especially after having understood the first 9 cantos, it gives a very clear picture of where the train is going. Where this human form of life has a design. And the design is to reach Krishna. Human form of life, other forms of life don't have that same capacity. They're not built for that. Human form of life is. That's the design, the intention behind the designer, the creator. And hearing these pastimes, it's meant to, and Krishna performs the pastimes so that we can discuss his pastimes to attract our hearts and minds again to that forgotten relationship. Circling back to something that I said at the very beginning, each of us has an eternal relationship with Krishna. It's one of these 5 rasas. And there's subdivisions, of course, of those. All kinds of variegated divisions of those pastimes or those relationships. But hearing these pastimes, the cowherd boys, the gopis, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, etc. And, you know, the other associates, Uddhava, and, you know, later he comes in the 10th canto, Akura, and so many activities of Krishna with so many different relationships, Narada Muni, so many different relationships. It helps us to have a clearer picture of spiritual reality. Because we're so much absorbed in the temporary, we've really lost touch with spiritual reality. And spiritual reality is the real reality. No, we have to live our lives in practical ways. We have bodies, we have minds, we have needs. And we don't neglect them. Just like I commented, you know, when we first began, this is a musical family. It's nice, you know, being, you know, so some people are more this and some people are more that. So those propensities are meant to be used in service to Krishna. Whatever those propensities are, use them in service to Krishna. And make sure you have an idea what Krishna is, rather than just something notional and vague. So therefore, you have this Srimad Bhagavatam here. And by regularly reading Srimad Bhagavatam consecutively, so we're spending a lot of time with Damodar Leela, but when that Damodar pastime is over, we'll go to some other section. And try to understand Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. And these messages are meant to cleanse, take away the attraction for the temporary, and revive and put in its place attraction for the eternal. And we have getting a clearer idea of what that eternal is, rather than just, you know, a name, eternal or transcendental, and what does that mean? We're getting a clearer picture. That's our human mission. Live our lives in responsible ways, doing our duties of the world, and at the same time, revive our relationship with Krishna. Mama nusmara yujyacha, in the language of Bhagavad Gita. That's what Krishna wants. So let's see if there's some discussion. Oh, Radha.
Is there a difference of the gopis of Balarams and Krishnas?
Their personalities are different. That's all.
And why specifically are there what do you call it?
Why are they different sets?
Yeah.
Well, some are attracted to Balaram and some are attracted to Krishna. I mean, they're all attracted to Krishna, but some enjoy that pastime, particular pastime of dancing with Balaram and some with Krishna. I think you have to ask them, you know, why with this group instead of with that group? They like this group. They like that group.
And are there more gopis?
Oh,
are there all the gopis?
There's so many gopis. There's some that weren't in the dance. That's your question, right? Sure. They were doing other things besides dancing. Okay. Anyone else would like to speak something?
Chance to ask a question during the Govardhan fasting, they ask now.
Okay.
So when the ceremony for Annakut was getting organized, the specific instruction was given to first feed the
Brahmins.
The Brahmins as well as the local people.
It was in secret.
Before offering to Govardhan.
Yes, that was the instruction. I noticed that also.
Okay. My mind was going into it. Shouldn't it be other way around, because you would like to
offer to Krishna first? In Vedic culture, feeding the Brahmins is the same.
Probably it's just an observation.
Yes, I noticed as well.
There is a question online from Snehavandi Mataji. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. In the morning class, Atulya Mataji asked the question, if all the eternal associates of Krishna are Nitya Siddhas, you very kindly responded yes to the question. My concern is, if sadhana siddhas can become eternal associates of Krishna, I heard from you in one lecture that Maharaj Pratap Rudra, King Chitraketu, Brigari, and Narad Muni, they all achieved perfection through association. So can sadhana siddhas become eternal associates of Krishna? Okay, this is kind of repeated enough. So these are examples who attain perfection by sadhana bhakti. So some clarification would be.
Sure. The language of her question is very important. And I was trying to respond to the language of her question. The eternal associates of Krishna are Nitya Siddhas. In the spiritual world, are there only Nitya Siddhas or are there also Sadhana and Kripa Siddhas? Yes, there's also Sadhana and Kripa Siddhas. And they don't have classifications. They have their Siddhas. But the eternal associates of Krishna, the eternal associates of Krishna are Nitya Siddhas. And once again, and when Krishna performs his pastimes in this world, there's also Nitya Siddhas, there's Sadhana Siddhas and Kripa Siddhas as well. It's language, so be very clear what the language is that's being used, and I was trying to be responsive to that language. I hope that clarifies. Anything else in the room? It looks like there's nothing online. Radha's got her hand up again.
Can we become a sadhana siddha?
Yes, please do.
And you said that sadhana siddhas can be nitya siddhas.
No, I didn't say that. Sadhana siddhas can become eternal associates, can become associates of Krishna in his pastimes. Kripa siddhas can also. Like Bhutana. What sadhana did she do?
Okay, she fed.
But that wasn't sadhana. She did some bhakti.
Yeah.
But she didn't do sadhana. She didn't get up in the morning and do what you do. Okay, your mother has something.
So Maharaj, more clarification. So Kripa Siddha devotees and Sadhana Siddha devotees can still fall down, even from the spiritual world, but Nitya Siddhas will never.
That's correct.
Mm.
Now, this whole, you're bringing up yet another topic. Maybe you're not intending to do so, but it is another topic, and that's the fall of the jiva topic. So it's a delicate topic. It needs to, if you're going to bring it up, bring it up properly, because let's just go to nitya siddhas are nitya siddhas. They're nitya. Nitya means nitya, they're eternal. And there are souls who become perfect, and those, then they may become perfect by sadhana, they may become perfect by mercy. And then in that siddha position, in the association of Krishna, in siddha position, they're Krishna's associates and there's not distinction amongst them. Is that sufficient? Yeah, you want to? Okay, thank you. Anything else in the room? Anyone? We have Radha with her hand up again. Go ahead, take the microphone.
The follow-up question of my mom.
Okay, here we go.
So you can become a sadhana siddha to an eternal associate. So can an eternal associate
not
just, fall
you,
back?
No. You don't become. This is the same question you've asked six times. You don't become. You're just using the English word eternal associate. An eternal associate is a nitya siddha, and they're nitya siddha. You become an associate with Krishna in his pastimes. Sadhana siddhas. Once siddha, siddha. You're in Krishna's pastimes. Not an eternal associate. You snuck it in. You tried.
I heard that if you're in the spiritual world, you go one time and you never return.
That's what our spiritual master has taught us.
But then how can a sadhana siddha fall down if they're in the
That's you're talking. So how does a sadhana siddha fall down? Where'd you hear that one? Siddha means siddha, right? Yeah, okay. Yes, something? No, just standing, okay.
More question, Papa.
Okay.
Question from Omara Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Question from Govardhan Lila, if it is okay. Why Giriraj Govardhan is reducing due to separation as per the Vrajavasis, when love in separation is the highest ecstasy for pure devotees? What does it mean that Govardhan is reducing due to separation from Krishna? Is it suffering?
It's a transcendental feeling. Now, to understand transcendental feelings, you have to be in transcendence. So you're not in transcendence, so you can't understand what it is. But it's an ecstasy. It's not a suffering. It's an ecstasy. It's not a suffering. And it's a feeling of ecstasy that's called separation. And to you, or, you know, to those that are not situated in transcendence, it may look like miserable. Just like Sita's separation from Ram, or Ram's separation from Sita, looks miserable. But it's an ecstasy. So, you know, you just accept it. It's a particular category or subcategory of ecstasy. Separation, love and separation. Next? Anything more? Okay, we're done. Well, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Jai.
How long have you had?